Psalm 31. And if we could think on the words that we have in verse 24, the last words of the psalm. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. This morning we considered something of the blessing that Jacob set upon his sons, and in particular upon Judah. We considered the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The book of Revelation, chapter 5, and verse 5. The Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. And there is there a wonderful picture, surely for us, of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom there is victory. One writer that I remember reading says that if you look for strength, then you only need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. If you look for beauty, then you need look no further than the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the altogether lovely one, the chiefest among 10,000. If you look for wisdom, then in him rests all the fountains of wisdom and of knowledge. And if you look for one to help, then look to the Lord Jesus Christ, who says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now we might look at the Lord Jesus Christ and we might say then that the Lord Jesus Christ has fulfilled everything. And that is true. All the demands of the covenant have been met by him. And he has vanquished all his, as the Catechism I think puts it, all his and our enemies. But you might be led to believe, as we have maybe mentioned not that long ago, that because we have such a Savior, and because we have such a captain of our salvation, that we can then sit back, and all we need to do is rest in him. And all responsibility for anything else vanishes. But as we saw when, I think last Sabbath morning, when we considered Jacob, Jacob didn't only say to his sons as they left, God be merciful to you, but he was the one who said, arise and go. So that while we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the victory is to be found in him, all who hope and trust in him must fight a good warfare. We must, as we saw, I think, last Sabbath evening, fight the good fight of faith. Like the apostle himself was able to say when he said he had finished his course, he had fought a good fight. There was now laid up for him a crown of righteousness, and so on. And in Psalm 31, these words that we have before us this evening, once again, there is the whole idea of the believer in a warfare. And that is why the psalmist is able to say, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. How the believer needs to take courage in a day when there is much around him that will be seen that would discourage. There may be much even around the psalmist that would bring him to be discouraged. But once he started to contemplate God's dealings with him, once he began to think upon the goodness of God to him, how the Lord preserves the faithful, and he plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. How it is that he says, blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvellous kindness in a strong city. How great is thy goodness which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. When he began to contemplate all that, he was able then to say, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. And there are a few things that we perhaps want to think on as the Lord will enable us. Who is it that he is speaking to? Secondly, the advice that he has given. And thirdly, the promise that is attached to it. First of all, to whom is he addressing these words? It is to all ye that hope in the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. It is the Lord's people that have a glorious hope, what the Bible calls a lively hope. It is the hope of glory, Christ in you. It is not as the vain hope of the world that the psalmist here encourages the Lord's people. It is all ye that hope in the Lord. It is not just anyone that has a hope. There are many tonight who have many hopes, and I'll maybe mention one in a moment. But it is not any random hope that the psalmist here speaks of. It is those who have their hope in the Lord. Before we go in to think upon anything further, can we ask ourselves this evening, is our hope in the Lord? We think of the Apostle Paul when he wrote about even death. And when once again death enters into the experience of a congregation, death enters into a home, into a family. The Apostle Paul speaks of having a hope. It's the hope that a risen Savior affords to one. It is a risen Savior. It is that Christ has risen from the dead. Therefore, he says, we are not as those who have no hope. If Christ be not risen from the dead, then we have no hope, and our belief and everything is in vain. But now that Christ has risen from the dead, then we ought to have a lively hope. A hope that is in the Lord. What is this hope? What is this hope in the Lord? Well, surely, first of all, is that we would expect all from him and to be in him. What a wonderful hope the Lord's people are able to have when you see that the fountain of all blessing is given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who is God of very God, and who yet is bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. One who knows what it is to have united in his one person two natures. Surely if we are going to tonight have a hope anywhere, the greatest and the only place that we can have any hope for time and for eternity is in the one who has united heaven and the earth, who has brought in his own person together man and God, so that when we read of him, not only in the Gospels, but as he has risen from the dead, and as he is this evening raised up in glory at God's right hand, he is both God and man for all eternity, forever. We have every reason, therefore, to put our hope in the Lord. Think of the vain hope that the world has, which makes gold their hope and silver their confidence. Those who will make their hope in carnal pleasure or in false religion. But those who have a hope in the Lord have a hope that embraces all of providence, that God will provide all their needs. A hope in his mercy that our sins will be washed away. A hope in his directing hand that he will lead us, even as that cloud by day and fire by night directed the feet of the Israelites of old. And a wonderful hope in his love, that love that bestows his grace and glory upon his people. What a wonderful hope we have when we have our hope in the Lord. But it's not only that we may expect everything from him, but we have every reason and foundation for the hope that you have when you have the hope in the Lord. I mentioned earlier on I would give some indication of a false and vain hope, the hope of the world. Speaking to a young man last week, and he said to me, you know, he says, I don't believe at all. And I engaged him in conversation, and I said, you don't? No, he says, I believe in reincarnation, that when we die, we come back again as some creature. I start to say to him, you are a believer. The only thing is, you're believing in the wrong thing. You believe something. He says, yes, but I believe in reincarnation. You see, the vain hope of the world. I had to say to him, what foundation do you have for such a hope? Where do you receive your solid foundation for what you believe and the hope that you have that somehow after death there will be more life? Where is the foundation for what we believe? Because as I said to him, we may get many things in this world wrong, but here is one thing and one area that we most certainly must strive to get right. Our relationship with God and our hope, not only for time, but for all eternity. He could give me no foundation, just what he believed. But look at what the psalmist here says. The psalmist here has a glorious hope in the Word of God. He speaks even throughout this psalm of the vain words of man, the vanity of the thoughts of man. Later on, the psalmist will say in Psalm 119 and at verse 49, "Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope." The word of God, giving a wonderful foundation upon which we may build our hope, the hope in the Lord. But it wasn't just the word. It was the very relationship which the psalmist had with the Most High. He speaks in the verses before this about, "I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee." Here was a psalmist whose hope was in the Lord. And it was in the Word of God. But it is also in that relationship that he has with the Almighty, the Most High, in that he came and he was able to pray. If we want to ask what it is to hope in the Lord, it is that we would expect all from him. But more than that, in the promises and in the word that he has given to us, and in that relationship that we have with the Most High. And if we have a hope in the Lord, then it is one who will stir up that hope. One who will not only have a hope that is dead, but it will be a hope that is alive. Think of what the Apostle John says in 1 John chapter 3. "Behold what manner of love," he talks about little children abide in him. "He that doeth righteousness is born of him," he says at the end of chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2. He's born of him, the new birth. And it's as though then he can hardly contain himself. He makes a digression. "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." You see, this is a hope that is alive. It's a hope that labors. It's a hope that uses means. It is a hope that delves into the scripture. It's a hope that has a heart that is open to pray. To hope in the Lord is not just to say, "Well, the Lord has done it all." To hope in the Lord is, yes, to say that he has accomplished it all. But he that has this hope in him, he purifies himself. He seeks to be like Christ. One man said, "Hope that doesn't labor is simple presumption." Well then, is our hope this evening in the Lord? Is it resting in him, the one who supplies, and expecting everything from him? Mercy, life, glory, everything, do we expect it from him? We have every reason for this hope. But does this hope also bring us that we would purify ourselves even as he is pure? In other words, does it have an effect on our lives? Well, what is the advice given to one whose hope is in the Lord? And he says, be of good courage. Be courageous. There are many duties that will come your way as a Christian. Many things that the Lord will call upon you to do, that he may not ask anybody else to do. Many duties that he will lay to your hand. But if you have the hope of the Lord in your soul, then be of good courage. Why is it that this advice is needed? Well, the psalmist himself knows that there are many dangers and difficulties for the believer in this world. Even the psalmist here says, Lord, let me not be ashamed, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed and let them be silent in the grave. Read down the psalm and you will see how the psalmist himself, being reviled by those who were against him, being tempted by the world to depart from the Lord. And you know, there are many things in this world today that may encourage you, may tempt you away from the cross of Calvary, away from the one in whom you have placed your hope, in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the psalmist says, in the midst of it all, in the midst of all the difficulties and trials, be of good courage. It's not only that you would be of good courage because there are difficulties, but we need this advice because this is the most important aspect, the greatest interest that any soul can contemplate. Oh, how good is thy greatness! Great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Can there be any greater interest that any soul in here tonight can lay up to heart than the interests of your undying soul? When we are confronted with many difficulties and dangers, temptations, here is the most precious cause in which we must be courageous. The apostle says, contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Be not fearful, be courageous, be of good courage. But it's not only the advice needed because of the difficulties and everything, but when you consider the captain of our salvation. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. When you consider the Lord Jesus Christ, our elder brother, the glorious leader, the captain of our salvation, what a contemplation of the glories of Christ ought, how it ought to make us courageous in the face of many difficulties and trials. How a contemplation of what he himself endured as he came into this world, as he set his face as a flint towards Jerusalem on behalf of his people. Is there not there every need and reason why the psalmist would say to us, be of good courage? We are more than conquerors through him that loved us, says the apostle. But not only that, think of the great reward that is to be found with him. Here is reason why we ought to persevere, why we ought to be of good courage. Because there are many in this world who fight for no reward, who fight for nothing. But the Bible tells us there is a reward for the righteous, an inconceivable glory that the Lord has laid up for all them that love his appearing. And when we contemplate what Christ today is doing, I have gone to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. Then is that not every reason why we today ought to fight a good fight and ought to be courageous with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God? A two-edged sword. It ought to make us of good courage. Contemplating the Lord Jesus Christ and contemplating what he has done and is laying up for them that love his appearing. Well, if our hope is in the Lord, there is reason then that we would be of good courage. But finally, there is a promise. He shall strengthen your heart. When you begin to speak to people, even unbelievers, you soon begin to realize that when you talk to them and you can bring them to think even upon who man is, what he is, they cannot get away from the fact that there is the body and there is the soul. There is the outward seen part of man, but there is that aspect of man that is unseen. The understanding, the will, the affections, the desires. And the psalmist here is given a wonderful promise. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. The Lord will strengthen your heart. It's a wonderful encouragement. When you see people that are ill, and particularly the Lord's people, and you witness that the Lord's people so often, towards the end of their days, they become weak in the body. The body begins to become slow. And sometimes illness itself will overtake the body. But how glorious it is when one in heart can be strengthened. First of all, strengthened in their understanding. Not in their understanding of science. Not in their understanding of astronomy or astrology. Not in their understanding directly of a planet 2 million miles away that takes 7 years to arrive. What knowledge. They're now receiving pictures from that planet. And they're gaining great knowledge, and it's nothing. In comparison to when the Lord will strengthen your heart with a knowledge of himself. When you grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he that knows the Son knows the Father. And he that knoweth the Father knows the Son. What is it to be strengthened as a Christian? It is that we would grow in that knowledge and in grace. That our understanding would be deepened. And like Jabez, we would say and we would cry out to the Lord, "Oh, that thou would extend my coasts." Not that I would have greater lands and greater buildings, but the circumference of my knowledge would grow and grow, and that I would come to know more of thee, the one true and living God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent into the world. You that place your hope in the Lord, be of good courage, and he will reveal more of himself to you by his word, by his spirit, by his providence, and by his dealings with you. Be of good courage. And you will know more of his goodness, of his grace and his mercy in your experience. But it's one thing to have understanding. It's another thing to pursue. And it's not therefore just the understanding of the heart that the Lord will strengthen, but it's the will. He will give you strength. He will deal with that will, that you may not only know the truth, but you may also pursue the truth. Verse 13, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. It's not just the understanding, but the will that God deals with us. And he enables us to stand in the day of trial. But it's not just the understanding and the will. It's the affection. The Lord doesn't just deal with the affection alone. It's the understanding and the will. But he deals with the affection. See what he says in the previous verse. It's as though his heart is overflowing here. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints. For the Lord preserves the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen thy heart. Very powerful spring the affections. Has the love of Christ constrained you? Has his person and work touched your heart? Well, he says, be of good courage. And when you're of good courage, he will strengthen you in the inner man. To be strengthened in the inner man day by day. Though the outward man would perish, yet to be strengthened in the inward man, because you notice here, when he speaks here, he says he shall strengthen your heart. This is spiritual strength in the inward parts. That he would be delighted with the truth. You pray that the Lord would strengthen you in the inward parts. Day by day. But he says, you that love the Lord and your hope is in the Lord, be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart. The question for us from these three points is this. First of all, is our hope in the Lord? Does this glorious hope inspire us to courage for the Lord? And are we strengthened thereby, day by day? Oh, that the Lord would strengthen us individually. That he would open up the windows of heaven and you today would be able to say with the psalmist here, oh, love the Lord. Consider what he's done, who he is, love the Lord. That he would strengthen me in spiritual things. That I would be enabled by his grace to wield the sword of the Spirit. To put on the whole armor of God. And that he would thereby strengthen me. Day by day. You know, an athlete, as he runs and as he exercises, he gets more strength. A soldier wielding a sword gets more strength and knowledge. May it be that we, by his grace, would be enabled to take courage, that he would strengthen us, all we that hope in the Lord.